Hello again, and welcome to Less Than Jays. We are hot on the trail of our 40 and 30 countdown. We're doing all 40 members of the 40-man roster over the course of 30 days as we get ever so close to opening day. We are inside 3 weeks to opening day, and we have gone through a lot of different members of the Blue Jays 40-man roster. You have heard some of those podcasts right here on the public feed. You heard Avery Chenier of Gate 14 on Friday, last Friday, talking about Adam Macko. You heard Blake Murphy earlier this week of Sportsnet talking about Yariel Rodriguez. And today, another massive guest is joining me in just a second. But if three podcasts isn't enough for you, I am thrilled to say today, Friday, the day that this is coming out on the public feed, officially we passed the 20 profile mark. We just did the bullpen, Richards, Garcia, Green, Meza, and Cabrera. We had Nate Pearson, Mitch White, and Bowden Francis. We had Horwitz and Barger. We had Zulueta, Parsons, Little, and Danner. We had Clement, Jimenez, and Lucas. Profiles on all of those players, including the ones you're hearing on this feed a little bit early, are available on the Less Than Jays Patreon, patreon.com/lessthanjays. The $9 tier gets you extra episodes all year long and the entire 40 and 30 series from this year and the next. That's what's there. Let's focus on what's here now, and that is a profile on one of the breakout players of 2023. One of the most instantly popular players I can ever remember, a guy that took the world by storm. It is Davis Schneider Day here on 40 and 30. And speaking of taking the world by storm, speaking of a breakout player, speaking of one of the most popular guys in the entire Blue Jays stratosphere, my guest today, borderline needs no introduction, has been actually on this show before, sat in for Jake, co-hosted in the middle of last year, but just on top of the world. You cannot be following the Blue Jays online and not know of this man. The flag bearer, the face, maybe even of Gate 14, the Firebrand podcast, the number one baseball podcast in Canada for many of the last several months, and just absolutely crushing it. So happy, so proud, so glad that he joined us today. Johnny Junta, my friend. Johnny, how are you?
It's good, man. It's good to, because obviously a lot of the times you and I talk, it's through via group chat. It's good to be face-to-face and actually not have to worry about typing through a cesspool of messages to try to reach out to you.
We were in spaces all winter. It's nice to sit down and like actually focus up some thoughts and actually talk some baseball and get into the nuts and bolts. Now, I put out the ask to you as to who you wanted to talk about. You know the roster up and down. You could message these guys. You get inside information about these guys. You were quick to jump, though. You picked Davis Schneider, a great choice. Why did you pick first and foremost, other than maybe Johnny Sources jumping out of the gate? What is it about Davis Schneider that you were like, this is the guy that I'd love to talk about for extended period?
I just think the how interesting his story is. I mean, obviously the underdog story, guy that was just offered by one high school out of college college out of high school with Rutgers University, 22 or 24th rounder, came from nothing pretty much in the baseball world and took the baseball world by storm. I mean, broke records that have been broken in hundreds of years. So I wanted to talk about him because it's a very interesting storyline going into this year is the role of Davis Schneider. I mean, we're not sure where he's going to be at, what he's going to be doing. We just know he will probably be on the team. I'm very intrigued by the Davis Schneider in 2024, which is why I picked him.
I'm right there with you. And I getting to know you a lot better over the last, I would say, 6-8 months, we've talked a lot about a lot of different things in baseball. And I think Schneider is a great example of where you and I sort of align on our thoughts on, we'll call them prospects, we'll call them guys who aren't in the major leagues. Davis Schneider, to me, is like a great reason as to why a lot of that shit doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
I go through here and I have scouting reports and I pull where they were on prospect boards, and heading to 2023, he's nowhere. There is no scouting report. There's no numbers, and he's better than almost everybody on the list ahead of him. It blows my mind that there are people that, you know, a trade will get made and the guy that comes back isn't a top 100 prospect. And it's me, you're like, oh, terrible trade. It's like Davis Schneider saved the season last year and is nowhere to be found on any prospect board ever. I think this is a really good example of like, see with your own eyes before you're just reading Baseball America and making that be your opinion. You sort of align with that?
Yeah, the problem is with that is like these writers aren't watching thousands and thousands of baseball games, watching these minor league games. Like what they see of the prospect is reading Fangraphs, is reading their stats on MILB.com. Like at the end of the day, they don't know shit. Majority of the people do not know shit. Okay. Unless they are watching the top 100 prospects, which they probably are. The other guys, they know nothing about other than their Fangraphs page, other than their exit velocities, their barrel percentages. They're just reading that. And the beauty thing about David Schneider is he pretty much proved that. I mean, a guy that was nowhere to be found. No one even talked about him until last year where he was lighting up AAA. And he comes in and literally saved the season. If it wasn't for Schneider, I will hold on to this take. That team does not make the playoffs last year. They're not even close.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A profile guy too, right? You look at him and nothing stands out. 5'9", 190, played second base and left field majority last year. Played some third earlier in his minor leagues, but second base, left field, 5'9". People just don't even watch that guy when he is sort of in those minor league games. They're here to see somebody else and the 5'9 second baseman who has elite control of the zone and only hits his pitches just doesn't get looked at. It blows my mind.
Yeah, it's wild. And the thing about him is he played like I don't know if many of the people know his story, but he was going to quit baseball. Like he was at a point in A-ball in Vancouver where he told our mutual friend Dom, he's like, I'm done, man. And this is Dom, who is a guy that was released by the Blue Jays that year where Schneider said that. And Dom's like, Schneider, what are you doing, man? Like I would kill to be in your spot. Like I'd kill to be rostered by a big league, like to be in a big league system right now. You can't take this for granted. Schneider obviously turned it around after that, started getting consistent playing time. And started lighting it up. I mean, that's the true underdog story, which is why I think everyone resonates with David Schneider so much.
Perfectly said. And we'll get into the minor league path here in a second. 25 years old, renewable contract. All three of his options are remaining. I don't expect him to get optioned down, but technically does have all of that. So right there in that early prime, you mentioned it off the top, a 28th round pick out of high school in 2017, three seasons in rookie ball, as you mentioned. And then in 2022 is when it all sort of started to happen, went from high A to triple A in one season, stopping, absolutely crushing WRC plus off the charts, OBP off the charts at all three stops, eventually getting himself into AAA in 2023 and completely undeniable, was called up in August of 2023. His numbers in AAA before he got called up, 275, 416, 553, 21 bombs. Basically, after the pandemic, when we got back from 2020 when there was no prospects, he's unbelievable every year since then. Just like consistently mastering the strike zone, hitting for power, hitting his pitches. He really like, there's a identifiable change in his profile before and after 2020.
Yeah, it's absurd. I mean, you're looking at it right here, and I believe that 2020 season was when he was talking about quitting. He put up a 49 weighted runs created plus that year. Obviously in 2019 wasn't getting much playing time. I mean, the guy had 68 at bats in 2019. Yeah. 68 at bats in A ball, and obviously turned it around. And I mean, he's posting the lowest weighted runs created plus he posted since 2021 is 118. I mean, this is a pure hitter. Is his swing the sexiest swing on the team? No, but he gets bat to ball, has insane zone presence, and hits and like I said, hits the ball really hard. So just incredible stuff to turn it around after potentially like wanting to quit baseball after 2019.
It must feel like almost like a dream when you're pointing out like the wanting to quit baseball, having no minor league season in 2020 and sort of being like, I don't even know if I can do this. And then 3 years later, he, as you mentioned, literally off to the best start in MLB history, 403, 535, 881, a 1416 OPS in his first 21 games. The Jays went 14-7 in that stretch. Very important. Saves the season, him and Horowitz and Ernie. I won't hear anything other than that they saved the season. Did end the season over 31, best of times, worst of times sort of situation, all encompassing 276, 404, 603 for a 1008 OPS.
Insane.
Good for two war. One little note, he hit 326 against lefties last year, which is like small sample size, of course. It's a 245 WRC plus. Eight of his home runs We're against lefties. That trend isn't as produced in most of his minor league years, but something to note, he like absolutely smashed lefties last year. When you take a step back now that we're removed from it and look at his 2023, sort of like how did that all fit for you in terms of like what you know about him and what you see and sort of how you project forward for just sort of what his 2023 was like?
I think this is a guy that should be getting everyday at-bats. I mean, we saw it during that stretch when he's playing every single day. And he was, I'll say it, man. I mean, obviously, he was mismanaged at a certain point. I mean, after that Cleveland series, he didn't play for a couple of weeks, it feels like. He comes into that Cincinnati Reds series and hits the game-winning home run at Great American Ballpark after not getting any at-bats for like a two-week time period. This is a guy that has to play every day to keep in that groove. And we see what he does when he plays every day. We learned it. I know a lot of fans are talking about the 0 for 31 stretch, like, oh, this is who he is, Everyone on the planet, every person that has ever played baseball has went through a stretch like that. Everyone. It's just his was elevated because of that insane run he went on at the start of his career. It's just, I think he's going to be a good hitter. I don't want to see guys like IKF take away at-bats from him, which will essentially probably happen at a certain point. Because the Jays paid IKF as much as they did. But this is a guy that should be playing every single day, man, and I think he's earned it. Obviously, kind of a little bit of a tough start to the start of the spring. I mean, it's four at-bats, hard to judge. But this is a guy that should be playing every single day, and his bat has proven it, especially with his power numbers, which is what this team lacked last year.
Yeah, it was like shot out of a cannon. It was so funny, like, you know, we speak in there's the numbers of how they were doing in scoring position, how much they needed power, and also the like they just needed something fun to happen last year so badly. And he comes up 5'9", glasses, mustache. People are in the stands have glasses on the logo, the Babe nickname. He was just absolutely what they needed last year in a lot of different ways. And I thought you could like identify the spark, the before and after of David Schneider of last year. It got me believing that they were going to be a special team. We'll talk about a little bit with the scouting reports. I mentioned not really anywhere. Coming into 2023, he was 28th on the MLB pipeline, Jays top 30. He was 15th in Baseball America, 33rd in TSN. All of those, the only time he ever made any of the lists. A bit of a summation of his prospect profile. A good all-around prospect. And this is the stuff that drives me nuts. This is, we talk about what drives me nuts about prospects. Is he had good contact, good power, good defense, good arm, good speed, all good, but nothing great. And that doesn't make him a good, like, guys will come up and can't hit at all. And they're ahead of him on prospect boards. It's like his weakness is that he does everything well. What are we doing here? Drives me insane.
It's just, yeah, it sucks. And he's and obviously he's a pull side guy, which is what this team needed last year. All of his home runs, every single Davis Schneider home run last year was a pull side bomb. Everyone. Every single home run, which is what this team lacked last year.
Just the type of guy that just like prospect huggers just never find this kind of guy valuable. I'm trying to like, you know, we're always learning. We're always growing. I'm trying to adjust some of the biases I learned earlier on in my fandom of like guys like David Schneider are important. Spencer Horwitz is a guy that I was sort of, I think, pretty wrong on last year where it's like, you get so caught up in the idea of value, and it's like, oh, he's a first baseman. That drops his value. He's not an extreme power threat. That drops his value. And it's like, you got to have a good hitting first baseman still, though, right? It's like you have to have something, and he had that. The TSN profile, they have Otto Lopez and Addison Barger ahead of him in terms of who is going to get called up next. It's insanity. Nobody knows anything. Speaking of knowing anything, your projections for 2024, take these as always with a grain of salt. Zips likes him for 19 home runs, just over three wins. Yeah, Zips likes him a lot. 230, 333, 430. Steamer has him playing a little less, 78 games, 12 home runs, 1.5 wins. And the Bat X, 1.8 wins, 17 home runs, and a... what is that, 750, 761 OPS, 111 WRC plus. So all of them are about the same, 111, 112 WRC plus. I think they see the batting average tailing off a little bit, but you can see that in profile over 100 points higher in the OBP and liking the slugging. Did any of those numbers sound about right to you? Does that sound about right? 19-ish home runs, 15, 16, three wins?
Yeah, I could see him in that 15 to 19 home run range. Obviously, this is a guy that's not going to be playing unfortunately, won't be playing every single day. I mean, the at-bats won't be as much as like everyday player, but 19 home runs out of the 6-7 hole is something this team needs bad, right? I mean, this is a guy you're not expecting to hit in that four role. Hopefully that'll be Jano this year, who looks really great to start off the spring training. Those are on par. I mean, the power numbers are going to be there no matter what. I mean, it was hard to judge last year based off of I was under the illusion that the baseballs were juiced in Buffalo because everyone hit like 350 there. But he brought it up. I mean, he came up to the show and he proved that the Buffalo numbers weren't fake. So I could expect 19 home runs is obviously on the high end. Like, that would be ideal. That'd be the best case scenario. But 15 to 19 home runs for a guy that's not playing every single day, I'll take that 10 times. I mean, Vladdy hit like 26 last year and he played every single day. So
19 would have been, yeah. He would have been fifth in the team last year.
Yeah, insane.
More than Matt Chapman. The sickening truth is it's more than, and the 111, 112 OPS plus is higher than Matt Chapman's year last year as well, if you wanted to get into those specifics. Discourse around David Schneider, I mean, beloved, cult hero, absolute guy that everybody absolutely loved. They made merch. They sort of everywhere, a really, as you mentioned, a really easy guy to root for, a really easy guy to find identification with. I remember, man, I mean, me in a year that didn't have a lot of like easy to point to great moments, that Boston series where he comes up and smashes it over the monster immediately is as good as it got in all of 2023 for my money.
Yeah, that was easily the moment of the year. I mean, obviously a guy who, I'll be honest with you, before I broke the news like David Schneider's getting called up, I had no idea who the fuck he was. I'll be honest. I don't care about AAA. I don't really watch or pay attention to those box scores at AAA, but obviously and many of the fans don't either. So he made a name for himself that literally that first at bat. And I'll never forget, I mean, we were doing a stream that day. I couldn't believe my eyes. I don't think I've ever seen a story like this where a guy came out of nowhere, 22nd, 24th rounder, whatever it was, and launches his first at bat at Fenway Park. I mean, it just, you can't write that. You can't write a storybook like that.
Yeah, really beautiful. And then you touched on it. The, like, why is he suddenly not playing? Like, just drove me insane. Just completely drove me insane. Because he get all this, and he has this incredible Boston series, and he disappears, and then he comes back up, and he continues to be the only good player, seemingly, that they had for a huge stretch there. I think coming into this year, he's penciled into a lot of people's lineups. I'm sure you've seen, you have new people. I mean, your mentions are a tire fire all the time. People are giving you fake lineups all the time. He is the people's choice to play second base against righties and to be in left field against left-handed pitching. That's sort of how from what I've seen, that's what people seem to be penciling in. Does that feel right to you? Does that caution at all to you? Are you as optimistic as we are? Is there a part of you that's like not as sure?
Well, yeah, the thing is, right? I mean, if he hits his way into the lineup, it's going to be, he's going to have to play every single day. I mean, obviously, it pissed me off last year. I know, piggybacking what you said about the not playing, is Whit Merrifield had like a 70 weighted runs created plus second half of the season, and he was stealing at bats from David Schneider. Did Whit Merrifield provide way better defense, significantly better defense than David Schneider? I don't think so. There was a certain time last year where Espinal was stealing at bats from David Schneider. And I there's a tweet that I did in the playoffs, I remember. The Jays pinch hit Whit Merrifield in the playoffs when he was a pumpkin at the plate over David Schneider, who gives you that power threat when the team wasn't scoring runs. So it was just a weird, weird way of managing a guy last year. He didn't even get in that bat in the playoffs when he was the reason why that they were there. It's just, yeah, hopefully this year with a couple changes there at the helm. I know Don Mattingly's defensive coordinator. I don't know what the fuck that means, but he's there. It'll be a little bit different. So I'm expecting him, and obviously those lefty numbers are absurd. I mean, I don't think Biggio will be playing against lefties. So I'm looking forward to seeing kind of the role they have for him this year. And in spring training, if he just rakes, I don't see how you make the case to not start him opening day. I really don't.
A bit of a log jam, and we'll see how much this gets solved over the course of the next month. Do you see part of the issue being like, man, there's a lot of second baseman, or is left field sort of the way out of this jam for him?
I think he's going to play that Whit Merrifield role. I mean, IKF can obviously do the same thing Whit Merrifield did, but better defense wise. But at some point, like, you got to sacrifice defense for offensive production. I mean, sure, this team was the best defensive team last year in baseball. Where the fuck did that get them? Literally nowhere. So I think if he hits his way, you can play him left, you can play him at second, you can play him at third. He's kind of that utility role that Whit Merrifield was last year. And his defense wasn't even bad last year. I mean, his defense last year was nothing to shake a stick at. Obviously, it wasn't Matt Chapman-esque at third base, but I mean, the guy was serviceable at third base. He wasn't making terrible errors. And if you look at it, the guy had a one DRS. So he's not affecting you negatively at first base. So it's like in the field. Sorry. So I don't know. I can see him being having a massive role for this team this year, especially when this team needs power.
Have been begging the last few years for a bench bat, just somebody who can come in and accidentally hit a home run. And this is like sort of built in a lab as the kind of guy that I root for. I have said many times that sort of my favorite kind of baseball players fall into one or two archetypes. It's Barney Rubble or Bam Bam, and he's the Bam Bam, just like a little dude that has a bat the size of his entire body and absolutely swings it. I'll always have space for a 5'9" guy who absolutely crushes. One of the difficult things I like to put people on here when they're guesting in this series is forcing a comp. Is there anybody he reminds you of? Can you force a comp? I will. A little pressure. Avery obviously nailed his. He had Adam Macko, and he nailed his comp.
So. Who'd he say?
He said a combination of Tim Collins and
Jesus Christ. What the fuck? That's to say, I'm going to go a little bit vintage here for the people, like a Canadian fellow. I'm going to say Matt Stairs from the right side. Just a guy I mean, obviously not the fielding wise stuff.
No.
But a guy that can come off the bench and hit you a nuke when you need a nuke. I feel like that's a good comp.
Yeah, that's a very good comp. That's a very good comp. I had, and it's not, I know this is rosiest possible colored glasses here. I have like poor man's Jose Altuve.
Yeah, I could see that. And it's obviously that the height plays a massive factor there. But
I'm very blind to that. It's sort of like he's a short guy who you can't make mistakes to. Not a like all world second baseman, but you're usually confident putting him there. Again, he's not Jose Altuve, but you could squint and you could see it.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing, obviously, I know the fans have talked about this. He can't hit the elevated fastball, yada yada yada. I'm just looking here at his Baseball Savant. I mean, the most balls he barreled on pitches were up in the zone. I mean, he 12 barrels. 12 hard hit balls elevated in the zone. So I know that was a thing fans talking about last year, and Davis talked about it on Geek 14, where he said, I don't know where people are getting this from, but he also had the most home runs in the top part of the zone. So this is something that obviously he worked on. I know that was a crutch for him, he said, in the minors, but he can hit balls up in the zone. I know that's something that people just like to make up, but he definitely can do that.
I'm glad you mentioned the sort of the zone stuff and the batted ball profile. He's such a funny guy because it's such an incredible heater run for all of his, like his, one of his similar batted ball profile guys is Kyle Schwarber. It's like such an amazing, that's you see call. Him, you're like, he doesn't strike you as Kyle Schwarber, obviously, because one is like an enormous lumbering dude. And the other one's 5'9", 190. But like, I love a little tiny Kyle Schwarber that absolutely rocks. We touched on it a little bit, just as we're sort of wrapping up the big picture look at David Schneider. I think a cause for optimism. I'm optimistic on him, not just because he's the kind of guy that I'm really a big fan of, but the zone profile has played at every single level, and it's a little different. Like Kevin Biggio was a guy who sort of came up, and it was like, man, the zone awareness, the ability to know where the strike zone is. But you were also like, okay, but you can just throw him the pitch and not be too worried about it. He's the guy that does do the damage. His swing take values are like crazy. He does not chase. He does not go on waste pitches. And he was raw. He jobbed pretty bad. Like he got robbed pretty bad on his strike zone last year as a rookie, as a small guy. I think if you're looking for a reason to buy it, the zone profile and how sort of robbed he was balls and strikes last year is another reason to really be sort of buying the David Schneider stock.
Yeah, and another thing, I mean, him being just a weird player is his strikeout rate is very high, but he doesn't chase, which is something that doesn't really make sense, but it kind of makes sense altogether. I can't really describe it, but the fact that his chase rate's so good, and I mean, this is a guy last year that had an expected slug, I believe, of 495, which is ridiculous, by the way, which is absolutely absurd. So, yeah, obviously, he's going to have to cut the strikeouts down a little bit, but if it's a guy giving you that much power, who cares about the strikeout? We learned about that with Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber is a perfect example. A guy that walks a lot or hits home runs. That's kind of what Schneider is.
I love it. I fucking love it. To sort of throw some numbers on what you just said there. The chase rate is basically half of league average. League average is just under 29%. He's at 15.7, but wow. The zone contact rate is 15% below. The zone contact rate is 82 league average. He's just under 68. So there is quite a bit of swing and miss. The whiff rate is 13% above league average. But again, you offset it by just never chasing. Only really chased when he was in a spot where he was not getting calls and was sort of like, well, I got to make something happen here. But even in that over 31 stretch, like the process was good. He wasn't out of himself. He was hitting the ball hard. I'm buying it, man. And not just because I fucking love the profile. Yeah,
it wasn't a Matt Chapman-esque 0-for-31, right? Like where these at-bats are so unserious. They were good at-bats. Like I remember one game it was against the Rays, I want to say. 0-for-3 with just 305, 102 mile an hour barrels right at people. It's like, that's ball. Like that's the best way to describe it. I know we say that a lot, but that truly is just ball. What happened to him during that 0-31 stretch. And he got so many strikes stolen. Like so many balls that weren't even in the zone. I know Codify, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, tweeted it. Like he was one of the most out of zone strike call guys in baseball. So we'll see the changes this year made to it. But yeah, just absurd stuff. Just a very weird numbers. But I love watching him hit.
You nailed it. I think, and maybe we stumbled across it with the Schwarber comp. A quick rundown of sort of the circles and the percentiles on the Savant, which I was clean on Savant 8 months, but I have to do it for this profile. The batting and fielding stuff is all right in the middle. He's a perfectly average batter and fielder. And then everything else is either off the chart good or off the chart bad. Barrel rate, off the chart good. Sweet spot, off the chart good. Chase rate, off the chart good. Walk rate, off the chart good. Whiffs and Ks and arm strength, bit of a noodle arm. But other than that, he is absolutely, all the stuff is red hot, the stuff that I like to see. And you alluded to it, the spray chart is pretty funny. It's like, this dude is a pull side, let it eat, see red, hit red. Absolutely. Anything else on the 2024 outlook, bigger picture stuff on David Schneider before we say goodbye?
I'm just looking forward to it. I mean, there's so many question marks here. I'm looking forward to seeing him get the full MLB season under his belt. I mean, the guy last year steps up to the plate against dogs like Max Scherzer, Aroldis Chapman, and just launches doubles, nukes off of these guys. So obviously the moment never gets too big. He plays with a chip on his shoulder, which is something I love. And he's one of the players I'm really looking forward to. Obviously Dalton Varsho's up there as well. Same with Vladdy and Manoah and stuff, but he's going to be a must watch guy. And the good thing one thing I do love about him is this fan base as a whole will still appreciate what he does, even if he's slumping, which is something that's very rare for Toronto Blue Jays fans. So I'm very excited to watch him play this year. Very excited.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Reminds me a little bit. The last couple of years before last year was like when I always felt it's like if Gurriel is playing well, the team is like unbelievably good, right? It's sort of if you have the shell and if the Gurriels and the Kirks are playing up to it, you know they're playing well. I think last year, if the core guys could have been clicking at the same time David Schneider was clicking, they could have done some real damage, and there's an opportunity for that to happen this year. I'm right there with you. I'm rooting pretty hard for David Schneider. I try to be cards on the table. This is my kind of guy, man. A dude that was not a prospect, but literally just the beginning of last year was like, is Addison Barger out of camp going to be the guy? And then you got into 2 or 3 months of people were like, David Schneider can't stop hitting. He can't. Yeah. Like all he does is spit on pitches outside of the zone and smash his pitch. I think this is exactly what the kind of guy they need, a bench bat, a left fielder, a second baseman, a third baseman. You give him the role, he will go do it. I'm right there with you. I'm rosy on David Schneider. Johnny, thank you for your time, brother. You know where to find Johnny. I mean, come on. Johnny Junta _ on Twitter, Gate14 on every possible social media platform, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. Look out. John and Avery are in Florida when the time this comes out. I'm sure by the time you hear this, they've already done all kinds of crazy stuff. Johnny, thank you so much for the time, dude. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Susan. You know what, man? It's good to just talk ball again. I mean, fuck. I just hate the off season so goddamn much because you're just trying to make topics out of nothing. So now we got ball to talk about. There's baseball being played on the field and narratives being made. So I'm looking forward to I'm so happy ball's back. Who gives a shit? If they suck this year, they probably won't. But just it's don't take ball for granted. That's the moral of the story.
If I may steal a coined phrase, the grind in the offseason That was the gate 14 difference.
That's all it is. I can't wait. Let's have ourselves a 2024, man. I'm excited.
Why not us? Why not now? Right? Absolutely. Thank you once again to Johnny for joining the show. As I said off the top, if you're looking for more profiles, we got 19 other players already profiled as of today, Friday. That is all available. Less than Jays. Patreon, patreon.com/lessthanjays. Lots and lots and lots of profiles and lots more podcasts coming to this feed as well. Next week, I've already talked about Dalton Varsho with a special guest, have talked about Justin Turner with a special guest, about to record a podcast about Aurelvis Martinez with a special guest. I got a guest to talk about Danny Jansen. We got guests coming to talk about Alejandro Kirk and Chris Bassett and Jose Barrios and on Kevin Gausman, Bo Bichette. The guests will just keep coming. It is going to be tons of fun. Make sure to keep it locked right here. If you want more, of course, patreon.com/lessthanjays. Otherwise, nothing left to say except thank you so much for being a part of Less Than Jays.